This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The president goes before the nation tonight to talk jobs. But is it too little, too late?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, we continue this morning coverage of the breakdown, our economy one step at a time, with a special look at jobs and getting America back to work. President Obama tonight goes before Congress to lay out his plans to reduce unemployment. But the president's been in office for more than 2.5 years. So this morning we ask, was there anything Mr. Obama could have done earlier to spark a more robust recovery? From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
When he arrived at the White House, President Obama continued the bailout of big banks. He also propped up the auto industry and spent $800 billion to stimulate the economy. Jared Bernstein was a White House economic advisor at the time. He says all those measures worked well.
They just didn't last long enough. So if there was anything that was kind of missed, it was the length and depth of this kind of a recession.
What made this recession deeper and longer, economists say, is the bursting of the housing bubble. That left many consumers a lot poorer and unwilling to spend money. William Galston is a former policy advisor for President Clinton.
The home mortgage crisis isn't just a piece of the problem. It's the nub of the problem.
Galston says in exchange for the government bailout, Congress should have required banks to write down some of the principal and interest on troubled mortgages. He says the White House could have forced that through if the president's team hadn't been so focused on other issues.
If you spend a lot of time in the midst of an economic emergency on issues like health care reform and climate change, that's time that you don't have to spend on the economic crisis.
Galston says the president should have created an infrastructure bank in addition to housing reforms. Both, he says, would have paid longer-term dividends in reversing a deeper downturn than the president realized in the beginning. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, now to the global perspective on business and economics, and we're off to China, where it may surprise you that there's a jobless crisis there, too. Estimates are China's unemployment rate is around 20%. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports one problem is many college grads aren't qualified.
6 million Chinese students just graduated from college this past spring. Nearly a fifth of them haven't found jobs yet. And according to Sean Ryan, author of the forthcoming book, The End of Cheap China, the ones who have found jobs aren't happy.
Well, young university graduates are so optimistic about their careers, and I think they overvalue their own skill set, so they're never happy with their current jobs. They're demanding higher salaries and think they're worth a lot more.
They're a lot like 24-year-old Zhou Wei. He got a job at an international PR firm right out of college.
I was always at the office until 11 at night some days, and my salary was too low.
He quit, and now he works from home. Joe rifles through a stack of T-shirts at his Shanghai apartment. He sells these on the e-commerce site Taobao, China's version of eBay. Sean Ryan says many young Chinese, unimpressed with their options, are starting their own businesses, many of them on China's growing number of e-commerce sites. Joe Wei's only sold 7 T-shirts so far and is still living off the savings from his first job. He's technically unemployed, but he likes the independence. This trend is giving more young Chinese entrepreneurial experience, but at least in the short run, it's not solving the country's unemployment problem. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher at the moment. The European Central Bank is talking today about changing course on raising interest rates with concerns about a big economic slowdown. Wall Street yesterday, a rally, finally. The Dow tacked on 275 points to end the day at 11,414.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
At last night's Republican presidential debate, all eight candidates were quick to criticize President Obama's health care overhaul. Former Utah Governor John Huntsman said health care can save money by cutting costs and computerizing medical records. But a study out today in the journal Health Affairs says a big reason Americans pay more for health care is because doctors get paid so much. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live now to talk about it. Morning, Amy.
Morning, Steve.
How much more for health care are we paying?
Well, let's take the example of hip surgery, a pretty common procedure in this country. With private insurance, it's nearly $4,000 in fees per procedure here, and that's about twice as much as in other countries. Medicare gets a cheaper rate, but still is paying 70% more than public insurance in other countries. And that's why, you know, U.S. doctors have much higher incomes than their counterparts elsewhere. The average orthopedic surgeon here makes close to $500,000 before taxes.
So what does that mean, Amy, for overall healthcare spending?
The study says those higher fees are the main drivers of higher overall U.S. spending on healthcare, as opposed to things like practice costs or med school tuition. Here's what J.B. Silvers, a health finance professor at Case Western, had to say about the findings.
One lesson might be if we ever want to control costs on this side, we need to regulate more, and that's anathema to most physicians. They just wouldn't even consider that as a possibility.
As you mentioned, we just had a major health insurance overhaul, and it didn't do much to address doctors' fees.
Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting live. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, officials at the Federal Reserve Bank in Baltimore say they're running out of storage room for dollar coins. A 2005 law requires the Fed to order these coins, which a lot of people don't use. And earlier this summer, the Fed reported to Congress it amassed more than $1.2 billion of them at branches all across the country, including the one in Baltimore. A note to the Fed in this economy? I'm going to guess there are plenty of people who would love to store some of those burdensome coins for you. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. You can find the podcast there and check the numbers through the day. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Consider Republicans and jobs. Yeah, everybody talks about Ronald Reagan, but what about this guy?
Warren G. Harding, who absolutely did nothing. He drank a lot, played a lot of golf. Rumors had it he had quite a few girlfriends, but he let markets work.
Oh, my. I'm Kai Rizdahl, jobs and the GOP. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.